that the children came to Jesus and he felt comfortable with them, that he wanted to show them, that he showed them and his parent, their parents, his love. And then Jesus goes on to make a very disturbing statement that challenges us to this day. That he says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Quite the challenge, isn't it? Now remember, Jesus is not saying in a childish fashion, because he's using two comparisons when he says this. He says, such as or like. Remember that. And I was thinking about this passage and I was questioning, what does that mean and what does that mean for me? And that's a good word for all of us, that when we read the scripture, we don't read the scripture and say, now what does this mean for somebody else? It's always easy to try and say, if only somebody would read this, that would fix them, wouldn't it? And we sometimes are tempted to feel that way. If they'd only figure it out, they'd get fixed. But when we approach the scripture, we always need to be asking the Lord, Lord, what does this passage mean for me? Where do I fit into this? When I ask myself this, what does it mean? I had a memory. And it's not something that I have thought of very often, but I was about 7 or 8 years of age, and I went partridge hunting one Saturday afternoon with my father. And that meant a lot to me. I remember, I believe it was about October. It was a sunny afternoon. My father worked in Halifax. We lived about 2 hours away. And he was only home on the weekend. So just the fact that he took time just for me, I remember even at that time, was important. And being the middle child, the third child, it meant a lot to me because I realized I was old enough to go with my father when he was going partridge hunting, not just my two older brothers. It meant in one way that I had somewhat arrived, or I was in the process of arriving. It proved something to me. It was a beautiful autumn afternoon. I remember it being sunny. I remember that we had light jackets on and we walked around for a couple of hours. I remember that we took a little break, and I can't remember exactly if we had a drink of pop, but I do remember a Pep chocolate bar. Anybody remember a round Pep chocolate bar?
Yeah.
And I remember we each had one, and then he broke his second one and gave it to me. And it seemed like the best chocolate bar I'd ever had. I also remember that I wasn't allowed to hold the gun. I also remember that I was to walk well behind my father. I also remember making too much noise. I had a cold and I think I was sniffling a lot. And I remember that. But it didn't really matter to me whether we got partridge or not. I just remember that I was with my dad and all was right with the world. And it was a good thing. I know that my father was able to do things that I was not able to do. I knew that I was safe with my father. I knew that everything was fitting together well when I was out with my father that afternoon. Again, not something that I've thought about a whole lot, but as I thought about this passage, that was a memory that came back to me. You see, what it tells me is that I was in a right relationship with my father. I was in the right place with my father. I accepted his leadership. I accepted his strength. I accepted all of that. I accepted my place and the privilege in the experience that afternoon, that Saturday afternoon.
all was right with the world. But so often what happens to all of us as we grow up and as we develop, things don't always stay that way, do they? That we lose sight of some of these things. That we begin to feel, I'm number one, don't we? We begin to feel that we need to look after ourselves. We need begin to feel that we need to prove ourselves, not just the fact that we've been chosen to go with Dad and our older siblings didn't get to go, or anything like that, but that we need to be people who are in charge and in control, and people who are in who are just lord of our own little universe, aren't we? Don't we? That we get to that place, adolescence, and maybe we never really grow out of it because we try to prove ourselves that we are self-made people. That we are people who just have things in control. And therefore, we enter into conflict with people, trying to put ourselves up, trying to put people down, trying to just prove ourselves, just trying to getting into conflict with people because we have something in order to push for ourselves. And so often, we find that that doesn't always lead to the best way in life. But Jesus said, we need to become like little children in order to inherit the kingdom. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Because we don't like to think of ourselves as little children. We like to think of ourselves as adults, capable of making our own decisions. So why do we need God? If that's the case, don't you love those pauses? If that's the case, then why do we need God? Maybe we're just wasting our time. Unless we come to the place where we say, you know what? Things are not right. Things are not right in the world when things are out of whack. When we feel that we can do everything on our own and be the God of our own universe, we have to work awfully hard, don't we? We have to make sure everything and everybody around us is in their own place, and we have to work hard at it, don't we? And it's a never-ending battle, because everybody else, it seems, is trying to do the same thing. It can get kind of tiring, can't it? That's what the Bible calls sin. That's not a word we hear very often anymore. That when God has created a world, and He is God, and He has a plan, and He has an order of things, and when we fight against that, and we do our best to prove Him wrong and to prove ourselves right, that's what we call sin. That's what the Bible calls sin. And it's a tough row to hoe. It's so tough that God says the wages of sin is death. Rather bleak, isn't it? But God has also made another way, where He has said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, we think we know better, but God has made another provision so that we can be renewed and restored in our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. No, we don't become little children and act in a childish fashion. But we enter into a relationship, a right relationship, with God, our Heavenly Father. Perhaps a memory, as I was sharing my memory, a similar memory was coming back to you of where you thought and realize you were in a right relationship with somebody, and it felt right, and it felt safe, and it felt good. That's what God wants for us, for each of us, to be in a right relationship with Him so that we can be safe and secure and be protected, so that we don't have to fight all of the battles of this world, where we can stop fighting, where we don't have to prove ourselves because we have already received love and acceptance from God our Father through Jesus Christ, where we don't have to say, I've got a chip on my shoulder, because we've already received the prize that we've been seeking. And that's the love and reconciliation with God, our Heavenly Father. Unless you become as a little child. It's not when somebody says, okay, God, prove yourself. But it's when we get to the place where we say, God, I'm tired of the struggle. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm at my wit's end. I acknowledge that I've tried to do it my way. That's when God says, okay, now we're getting someplace. Now you're being honest with me and with yourself. I think about a couple who got to the very end of their marriage, a young couple. And they didn't know what else to do. And they began to pray the Lord's Prayer. That was the only prayer that they knew. And God met them. I think about a police officer who was under extreme stress and was at the breaking point. And he cried out, God, I need you. And God met him at the point of his need. I think about various people at points in their life who get to the bottom and then say, God, I've got nothing else to do except try you. And that's where God meets them. When they have nothing else to offer themselves or this world, and God says, okay, I'll meet you there. Maybe you are there. Maybe that is where you are at. And if you are at that point, God will say, I'll meet you there. You don't have to do anything fancy. All you have to do is say, God, I need you. I acknowledge I've tried to do it on my own. Jesus, will you forgive me? Jesus, will you accept me and share the love of the Father? That's all it takes. And to walk with Him, to discover that love and then say, it's so good, I'm going to walk with you the rest of my life. And not to turn away. That's what Jesus meant when He said, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom like a little child will never enter it. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you for your truth and your promises. We do thank you that Jesus was indignant with the disciples when he did not block the way for little children to come, but challenged us as well. And opened the gate of heaven for us to receive the love and the protection and the grace of God the Father. So Jesus, we do thank you. And I don't know if anybody here this morning would like to say simply to God and indicate by perhaps raising your hand to say, God, I want to know your love. Would you just raise your hand quickly and put it down?